Dr. Finlay, Adventures of a Black Bag. Adapted from the stories of A.J. Cronin by Sue Rodwell and starring John Gordon Sinclair as Dr. Finlay. Who Laughs Last?
The trouble with Finlay was that he didn't always know when folk were taking advantage of him.
There's a note for you, Doctor.
Oh, I've only just sat down, Janet.
He liked to see the good in people, even if there wasn't much there to see.
It's not urgent.
Well, maybe you could take the call, Dr. Cameron.
Maybe I can, if they won't be too disappointed when they see it's not you, Finlay.
It's from Meg Mirrlees.
That woman.
She said Dr. Finlay might like to call in if he's passing.
That'll be one you have to take, Finlay. But if you want my advice, don't go within half a mile of the woman's door.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, there's nothing could ever be wrong with Meg Mirrlees. She's the healthiest, hardiest, stingiest old gossip in Leavenford. In the whole of Dumbartonshire, I've no doubt. Isn't that so, Janet?
Maybe the whole of Scotland.
And for another, you'll never see your fee.
Well, if she can't pay...
Oh, she can pay all right. Her husband left her a fortune. She married him late when he was well over 70, and he obliged by only surviving a year or two. The house is packed with antiques, silver, porcelain, all sorts of things, all picked up at auction. Oh, she had a good eye. I'll give her that. She's a plate. Nankin blue and white. It's a beautiful thing.
Which you'd like to add to your collection?
She outbid me for it. Almost 10 years ago now. She never wanted the plate. She just wanted to beat me out of it. She's not worth a moment of your consideration.
Still, I've a mind to look in after my morning rounds.
Then you're a damned fool, man. I'm away to my study, Janet. If any calls come in, I'm sure Dr. Finlay will deal with them. He seems to have more than enough time on his hands.
I don't think he likes the woman.
He does not.
Would you happen to know why?
Even if I did know, I'd not tell.
It can't just be over a plate.
Oh, no. It wasn't that at all.
Come on, Janet. You can't let me go into the lion's den unprepared.
Well, it was years ago, in Dr. Snoddy's day. Meg called Dr. Cameron out. It was only a trivial thing, a cough, but she made out it was bronchitis. She had the doctor back and forth all winter, but when he sent in the bill, she said she'd only called him the once and he'd gone all the other times for his own interest, because she was such an unusual case.
What did Dr. Cameron say to that?
He was furious.
Well, I should think he was.
He argued and argued till Dr. Cameron lost his temper, tore up the bill and threw it in her face. Which was exactly what Meg wanted. She never did pay that bill.
And that's why you don't like it either.
Oh, no, Doctor. I've my own reasons.
Aye, well, I won't be having any nonsense from Meg Mirrlees. Promise you that.
Is it Dr. Finlay?
It is.
You'd be the new doctor.
Well, not so new now, Mrs. Mirrlees. I'm beginning to know my way around Leavenford, and I'm beginning to know the people in it.
Come in. Come in then, will you?
Thank you.
And how's your housekeeper?
Janet. She's well.
Good. Good. That's kind of you to call on a poor old creature like me. You sit down. It's as cheap as standing. I hope you don't find it cold, but I won't have fires when April comes. It's far too late in the year.
I'm fine, thank you. So, have you known Janet long?
Since she was a lass. Did she not tell you?
Not exactly.
If Janet McPherson's a fine housekeeper, you've me to thank for it. She was a kitchen maid when I was cook to the Angus's up at Dunhill. You know them, of course.
I know who you mean. The mill owners.
A very fine family. Treated me very well. Still do. Loyalty. It's so important, Doctor. I used to tell Janet that. She was a lazy little thing when she first came to Dunhill.
I can't imagine that.
Oh, I soon licked her into shape, don't you worry. Firm words and a firm hand can work wonders. Now, Doctor, I'd offer you a cup of tea, but I'm all out of sugar.
I like my tea without sugar, as a matter of fact.
Is that so? I'd get one for you right away if the kettle hadn't gone off the boil.
So what is it I can do for you, Mrs. Mirrlees?
Well, you know, it's something I can do for you, Doctor.
Is it now?
It is. Well, I've got something to show you. I'm sure you won't have come across before.
It sounds intriguing.
It is. It started out as a wee bump, and it's been growing and growing. Now it's a great lump. It doesn't worry me, mind, but I thought a doctor would be interested in seeing it.
And where exactly is this lump?
On the top of my head.
Oh, well, let's have a look at it then.
Would you mind if I lit one of the lamps?
You don't want to be doing that. Come over to the window. There. Do you see it? A great lump.
Aye, I do.
I thought to myself that'd be something interesting for the new young doctor. A grand experience for him to try his hand at getting rid of it. I've no doubt you'd be grateful enough to me without bothering with a fee.
You know, hold still now.
It's as big as a pigeon egg.
Well, swellings often feel bigger than they really are. But it's a fair size, I'll grant you that.
Have you ever seen anything like it?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Merrilees. Many's a time. Well, you can sit down now.
So, what is it?
It's a sebaceous cyst.
No.
Aye.
Is that very serious?
It's not. You'd probably call it a wen.
What's to be done with it?
It only needs a very simple operation.
An operation? There. I said it would be a grand experience for
well,
you.
I'm not needing that sort of experience. I can do the operation here. It's just a question of removing the cyst. My fee will be a guinea and a half.
Doctor, I'm surprised at you. It's not a thing to joke about.
I'm perfectly serious.
No, you're not so heartless. Haven't I told you?
Never mind what you've told me. It's what I'm telling you that matters. 1.5 guineas is the fee and not a penny less.
I couldn't afford that. You must see I'm just a poor old woman.
I see nothing of the sort. You're surrounded by fine things.
They're not as fine as they look. And would you have me sell my inheritance to pay you?
Now, I know very well you can afford my fee, Mrs. Merrilees.
Call yourself a doctor.
I do. And you'll pay a fair price for my services.
And there all the time I thought you were a good man. Well, I see I've wasted my time with you. I'll say good day.
Aye, good day.
And don't you dare charge me for this visit either. I'll not pay. Go on, be off with you now. Out of my house.
I thought she was going to come at me with her cane.
What did I tell you, Finlay?
I thought you might like some hot chocolate.
Janet, that's just the thing in this wind.
Janet, Mrs. Merrilees was asking after you.
Was she now?
Aye.
I hope you told her I was well.
Oh, I did.
Good. And that's the last I want to hear of her, thank you, Doctor. You'll be in for your tea soon, I hope.
We will.
Do you know what Meg did to Janet to make her dislike her so much?
I don't. Janet doesn't like to talk about her life before Arden House. Do you think I should put a trellis over there? Maybe a climbing rose?
Maybe. By the way, I think I saw your plate.
Did you now?
Oh, I can't be sure. You can barely see in that house. She keeps the lights so low.
What was it like?
It's blue and white with Chinese people running about all over it.
Yeah, it could be.
I did think about snatching it on the way out. It's too late now. I don't suppose any of us are going to see Mrs. Merrilees again for a very long time.
Poor Dr. Finlay. He had no idea who he was dealing with in Meg Merrilees. No idea at all.
Janet, I thought it was you across the street.
Mrs. Merrilees, good afternoon.
I called after you, but I don't think you can have heard me.
I don't think I can. Well, I must be away.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very well. Well, I must get back to Arden House with these sausages. I've the doctor's supper to cook.
The doctors? How are they?
They're well.
Dr. Finlay, what a fine figure of a man.
Aye, he'll be wondering where I've got to.
And a very good doctor.
He is that.
I hope he didn't take any notice of my bad temper the other day. He knows I'm just a foolish old woman, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. I'm sure he does.
Of all the doctors in town, he's the only one I'd trust to look after me. Apart from Dr. Cameron, of course. Dr. Cameron has always been such a friend to me.
I'll tell him you said
so. Now, Janet, if Dr. Finlay could find it in his heart to call by again on a poor, helpless old woman in need...
The woman's quite mad.
She said Dr. Finlay was the only doctor she'd let past her door.
You mean she's tried every other doctor in Leavenford and they won't go near her?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's the unmitigated gall of the woman.
You almost have to admire it.
No, you don't. I'm sorry, Doctor, but you really don't.
She's just trying to flatter her way back into your good books.
Aye.
And you can have the pleasure of telling her to go to blazes.
Well...
Finlay.
Well...
You will tell her to go to blazes, won't you?
Well, whatever the woman's like. And I have no time for her. No time at all. But she does need that sister tending to.
Let her go to Helensburgh, then. Or to Glasgow, or Harley Street, if she's a mind. But don't weaken Finlay.
Aye, well, I know you're right.
You're going to call on her, aren't you?
Well, I've no choice.
Then I despair of you, man.
Don't you worry, Dr. Cameron. I think I have a way to make Meg Middleys repay us all. So you're agreed? This is a proper consultation?
Of course. Whatever else would it be? I must have my head dealt with. It's an awful affliction, you know.
I'm sure it is. And my fee?
Don't you worry about that. A guinea, wasn't it?
A guinea and a half for the initial consultation, and then there's the operation itself, and of course I'll be needing to come again and dress the wound.
I suppose you will.
Several times.
Really? Several?
If I'm to do a proper job.
Well, it must be done properly.
But I was wondering, Mrs. Middleys, if it's a problem for you to find the money.
It's always a problem for a poor widow woman like me with no family and few enough friends. Still, if needs must.
Well, perhaps... instead of a fee, you'd like to consider something else.
What are you getting at?
I believe you have a Chinese plate, Nankin, blue and white.
I do. You want my plate for your fee? My bonny blue plate that my dear husband brought all the way from China.
I thought you...
My precious plate!
Bought it in an auction.
That's worth a heap of gold sovereigns. To think you'd try and take advantage of a poor old woman like that. I was wrong about you, Dr. Finlay, very wrong.
I had no idea it was so valuable.
Well, you know now.
I'm sorry. Please, forget I suggested it.
I will.
We'll just settle on the proper fee and leave it at that.
Wait, Doctor. Don't run on so fast. I don't want to seem unreasonable. Would you get down the plate for me?
Okay. This one, is it?
If you'll get that one down... It's a pretty thing, is it not?
It's very bonny.
You have good taste if you like this plate of mine. You do like it.
I do.
And you'll take it instead of your fee?
Well, not if it means so much to you.
It's full of so many memories. Careful. I wouldn't want any harm to come to it. Let me think for a minute.
I really wouldn't want to deprive you of it.
I'm being a fool to myself, I've no doubt, but seeing as how you want it so very much. Very well, Doctor. You shall have the plate in payment for putting me right.
You're sure?
Quite sure. Mind, you must look after me well. You're to take the wen away so it'll never come back.
I'll do my best.
Your very best. And you're not to hurt me.
I won't.
And you're to come in every day to see me until it's all better.
If I can.
You're to do it if you want the plate.
Very well.
Every day.
Aye.
And you're to give me a tonic for my blood, to perk me up.
And I'll do your corns as well.
What's that, Doctor?
Nothing at all. I'll be here tomorrow at 3:00.
I'm not sure if that would suit me.
3:00, Mrs. Middleys.
So, you got your fee?
Not yet, but don't you worry. I will.
If I was you, I'd have the money in your hand before you begin.
I've made a bargain with the woman, and I trust her not to break it.
You trust Meg Middleys?
Oh, aye. She might twist and turn, but I don't think she'd break her word with me.
I wish I had your confidence.
Aye, well, I can always tell her I'll put the cyst back in if she cheats me. Hold still now.
Doctor, that looks awful sharp.
It's meant to be. You wouldn't want me cutting you with a blunt scalpel. Now I'm going to freeze the swelling.
What's that you're spraying me with?
It's just some ethyl chloride so you won't feel the incision.
Oh, Doctor!
I haven't touched you yet.
No, but you will.
Stay quite still now.
All right, then. You can start.
I've already made the incision.
I thought I felt something.
You shouldn't have felt a thing.
Well, I did. Be careful. What are you doing now?
Do you really want to know?
I do. It's my head you're tinkering with.
All right, if that's what you want. I've exposed the cyst. And now I'm lifting the edge of the skin. I have to separate the surrounding tissue from the cyst itself, and then I'll be able to clip the base of the cyst and pop it out like a ripe peach.
Oh, please, Doctor. I think I'm going to faint.
No, you're not. You're going to sit quite still until I'm finished with you.
Every day, Finlay went to change her dressing, a and every day she found something to complain about. The wound wasn't healing fast enough. The stitches were pulling. Finlay's hands were too cold. Day after day, he put up with her rudeness, her crabbiness, and her minginess.
I won't offer you a biscuit, Doctor. It might spoil your lunch.
As a matter of fact, I missed breakfast, so if you could spare that... what is it? A rich tea?
Aye, that's right. Oh, I wish I could, but this is the last one I've got in the house. I don't feel up to the shopping. When I get myself a new maid...
She begrudges me every breath I take in that house.
Watch out she doesn't present you with a bill for them.
I wouldn't put it past the woman, but I'll be the one presenting a bill, and I can hardly wait.
Oh, hello.
Can I help you?
I'm here to see Mrs. Mirrlees.
Come through, won't you?
Thank you.
Doctor, you're late. I thought you weren't coming.
Doctor?
Dr. Finlay. He's supposed to be looking after me, but I thought he must have forgotten.
I had an urgent case I had to visit first.
Am I not urgent?
No. Let's have a look at this dressing.
There's no need.
I have to change it.
It's been done.
Done?
Peggy did it, didn't you, dear?
I hadn't realised the doctor was supposed to visit.
Well, you had no business to touch it.
I'm sorry.
Well, can you get me a cup of tea while I see what harm you've done?
A cup of tea?
Aye, and make it strong, with four sugars.
Yes, doctor.
What were you thinking of letting your maid change your dressing?
Peggy's not my maid.
She's not?
Oh, no. She's a nurse.
But a nurse?
And a very good one at that.
Well, why didn't you tell me she wasn't your maid?
You didn't ask. Has she done a good job with the dressing?
Aye, well, she has. What did you want to get a nurse in for?
Oh, she's not my nurse. She's just finished her training at Edinburgh Royal. She started at the Cottage Hospital. I thought you might know her.
Aye, well, I don't.
She's John Angus's daughter, you know, the Anguses of Dunhill.
Yes, you did mention them before, where you worked as a cook.
Aye, that's right. Little Peggy always used to be in the kitchen. I'd give her breakfast before the rest of the house was up. She hasn't forgotten me like some I could name. When I asked her to come and see her poor old Meg, she came straight away. Loyalty, Doctor. Loyalty.
Your tea, Doctor. I hope there's enough sugar in it there for you.
Thank you. Look, I'm sorry I spoke to you like that. I thought you were the maid.
Oh, and that's how you speak to servants, is it?
Oh, no, but I was angry.
Oh, you mean as long as you're angry, you can be as rude as you like?
No, it's just... I didn't realise...
No, I understand perfectly, Doctor. Please, don't worry about it. Now, I must be getting back to the hospital, Meg. Matron won't stand for her nurses to be a minute late. And I don't want to be shouted at twice in one day. Good morning to you, Dr. Finlay.
Well, good morning.
Doctor, you're as red as a beetroot.
She's paying you with a plate.
Aye, but a very fine one, Janet. A plate Dr. Cameron's had his heart set on for years.
So where's it to go? The room's fit to burst with all his bric-a-brac as it is.
I don't think he'd want to hear you call it bric-a-brac.
Dr. Cameron doesn't have the dusting of it.
Please, Janet. You don't know what I have gone through to get that plate.
Oh, well... Perhaps we can squeeze it onto the mantelpiece.
Aye, it'll look very fine next to the clock. It's only a pity every time I look at it, I'll be reminded of Meg Mirrlees.
You're not the only one.
Ow! Careful, Doctor. Watch what you're doing. You're pulling my hair out.
I'm doing nothing of the sort. Could you hold still while I cut the knot?
Oh.
It's healed over nicely.
When's my hair going to grow back?
It'll take a little while.
You were hacking away at it with that razor.
I only shaved what was necessary to expose the cyst.
Well, you'll no make a barber, I can tell you that.
Mrs. Mirrlees, is all this fuss in aid of not paying me my due?
Oh, no. I just wanted you to know what I've been through to provide you with a bit of experience.
Fine, then I'll be taking the plate now.
What about my tonic?
Damn, I forgot all about that.
You promised me a bottle of tonic, and the Lord knows I need it after all I've had to endure.
Ah, you're perfectly healthy. You've no need of tonic.
Now who's trying to get out of our bargain?
I'll bring it round this afternoon.
Then I'll have my plate.
It's all right, Doctor. I think I can trust you well enough. You take the plate now.
Well, thank you.
Will you maybe want me to wrap it up for you?
Aye, if you don't mind.
You get it down, and I'll find the paper.
I thought she was going to trick me at the last minute.
I'm surprised she didn't.
Well, she wrapped it up in this greasy old brown paper and did it up tight with string. So, when I got outside, I undid it all just to make sure it was the same plate.
And it was?
Oh, aye.
On the mantelpiece, you say?
Aye. Oh, it looks just fine, doesn't it?
I suppose so. It's much like any other plate to my eyes.
Well, I know what you mean. But then, we're not connoisseurs.
Finlay!
Go on, Janet, you stand in front of it. And then when I say, step aside.
Will you be wanting bagpipes to be playing outside?
Come on, Janet, I've been through hell for this moment.
Finlay, have you seen my stethoscope anywhere?
No, Doctor, I've not seen it.
I can't find it in the surgery. Janet, you haven't put it somewhere.
No, Dr. Cameron.
What's the matter with you, woman?
Now, Janet. Da-da!
What's that?
It's your plate.
My plate?
Aye. The one you've always wanted. I got it from Meg Mirley's. That was my fee.
Oh, Finlay.
Well, what, do you not like it?
When I think of you day after day, running after that old biddy, waiting on her hand and foot. And for that...
Well, what is it, Doctor? What's so funny?
I told you she'd cheat you.
Oh, dear.
She's done nothing of the sort. This is the plate you told me about. The Nankin plate.
It's an ordinary willow pattern dinner plate, man.
Oh, Dr. Finlay.
You can buy them for threepence halfpenny in the market. That's probably where Meg got it from.
No, it must be the right plate.
Shall I take it into the kitchen? Maybe you'd like your dinner on it.
After all that woman's put me through, I'll swing for her.
It's the plate you said you wanted.
It's no such thing.
I beg your pardon, Doctor, but it is.
It's not the Nankin plate.
I never said it was.
You showed me the wrong plate to begin with.
I asked you to fetch me a plate. I never told you it was the Nankin plate. I can't help it if you assumed it was.
You cheated me.
How dare you? I gave you the plate you said you wanted.
You set out to cheat me from the start.
You haven't kept to your side of the bargain. I still haven't got my tonic.
To hell with your tonic.
You're a fine doctor.
Yes, I am. And I'm not wasting another second in the likes of you. I have proper patients to look after.
You'll bring me my tonic. That was the bargain.
I'm not setting foot in this house again.
She's bested you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I told you she would.
Aye, well, she won't get any tonic from me.
But, Doctor, you made a bargain with her.
I won't go near the woman.
I can take her the tonic.
She's no right to it.
Still, it was the bargain. You wouldn't want her to make a liar of you.
Oh, maybe not. If you're sure it's not too much trouble, Janet.
It's no trouble, Doctor. No trouble at all.
And that, I thought, would be the very last we heard of Meg Mirrorlees for a very long time. I was wrong, of course. It wasn't even 24 hours.
Oh, I'm dying. I'm dying. Will no one help me?
Oh, I'm here, Meg. Oh, you poor thing. Please, Dr. Finlay, you must come.
I'm afraid I can't.
Meg's really ill.
Did she ask for me?
No.
No, I thought not.
She's in pain, Doctor. I don't know what's wrong. It might be flu, but it seems much worse.
I'm sure she can find another doctor.
You know no one else will come and see her.
Well, that's not my fault.
I've been told you cared about people.
I do.
I didn't think you'd let your own feelings come between you and a patient if they needed you.
She's not a patient of mine anymore.
Well, I thought better of you. I was obviously wrong. Goodbye.
No, wait.
Oh, Peggy Angus was a clever girl. Finlay couldn't see it yet, of course. He would, but not yet.
Oh, it's burning me. It's terrible.
Where's it hurting?
My stomach, my gut, everywhere. I
can't keep a thing down.
Can you stretch out at all?
Oh, Doctor, do I have to?
If you can.
What is it? What's the matter with me?
Well, maybe it's judgment on you for swindling me out of that plate.
I don't care about the plate. You can have every plate in the house if you just take the pain away.
Is that a promise?
I swear it. Just, oh.
What have you eaten today?
I can't bear to talk about food.
You must try and tell me.
I just had my breakfast. Porridge and a kipper and a dose of that tonic you sent me.
Maybe food poisoning. Did you eat anything else?
Nothing. I can't even keep water down. I'd try some more of the tonic if you think that'll help.
No, I don't think you should eat anything else for 24 hours. What's this?
What? It's the tonic, of course.
This is the tonic that Janet brought you.
Yes. Doctor, please, can you make me better?
I think I can. But you won't forget your promise about the plate.
It's in that cupboard. Take it. Just give me something for the pain.
Oh. Right. I'm going to mix you something that'll help. Here we are. Drink it while it's still fizzing.
I can't.
Go on, now it'll make you feel better in no time at all. And the plate's in this cupboard, you see.
It is. Oh, Doctor. Oh, it's easing me already. Thanks be to the Almighty. And to yourself, of course. Oh, it's easing me a treat.
By this afternoon, you should be as right as rain. And you won't even need this tonic anymore.
I'll never be able to thank you.
No, believe me, this plate's thanks enough.
I don't know how I could have done such a thing, Dr. Finlay.
It's not easy to mistake a bottle of tonic for an emetic like Ipecacuanha.
It's not. I can't have looked at the label properly. I don't know what I was thinking.
No, I don't know either.
I'm sure it won't happen again.
It certainly won't, Dr. Cameron.
And there's no harm done this time.
No.
And it is a very bonny plate.
In Dr. Finlay, Adventures of a Black Bag, Dr. Finlay was played by John Gordon Sinclair, Dr. Cameron by Brian Pettifer, and Janet by Katie Murphy. Meg Merlies was played by Claire Nielsen, and Nurse Angus by Sharon Small. Who Laughs Last was dramatised by Sue Rodwell. Technical presentation was by Wilfredo Acosta, and it was produced in Bristol by Jeremy Howe.